Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to The Beat. I'm Ari Melbourne. We begin with several legal crises that are coming together for Donald Trump right now. It's been a week of setbacks for the former president. The big one is the New York Attorney General taking him to court, demanding sanctions, $250 million specifically, in penalties. Attorney General James saying that the Trump family and organization have committed massive and repeat fraud. We're going to walk through this. You may have heard the news yesterday, and a lot of it focused on the law, her powers, what she's doing. There hasn't been as much time to really make sense of the evidence in her 220-page filing. And so, just briefly here to start the broadcast, I wanted to do that with you. Look at Mar-a-Lago, which, of course, is in the nexus of multiple legal issues, and we'll get to those tonight. But in the New York case, which deals with Donald Trump's fraud in more than one place, Mar-a-Lago down in Florida has an actual property value of $75 million. What you see on the left there is what Letitia James says is, all things considered, the rough actual truth, a value of $75 million. Now, you might notice when you look at this bar chart here that it seems really kind of low, and that's because of what you're about to see. To leave room for the Trump claims, you really have to build a giant chart where the Trump organization made claims legally binding that this was worth $739 million. That's not a bit above or double. It is, as you see, about nine times more than, according to the case, what the AG says it's worth. So it is false, as best anyone can tell. It certainly has never fetched $739 million or anything close to that in a sale. What you're seeing on your screen in simple form, which I'm leading the newscast with because it's this important, is a piece of evidence for dismantling the Trump organization. If this evidence holds and a judge signs off on it, then you could see Trump and his family banned from running any corporation in New York. Okay, consider that Exhibit A. Now let's go to Trump Park Avenue Apartments, a unit there reportedly worth about $750,000. Again, you'll notice, and I'm showing you this because it matters, and we didn't even have time to get to it in our breaking coverage yesterday, it looks like a sliver. You might say, well, why is that, Ari? Well, we're going to show you why. Trump claimed it was worth not double, triple, no, $50 million. All right, you're starting to get the pattern. We're not going to do this forever, but let me show you 40 Wall Street. You don't have to ever set foot in New York to know that Wall Street is a coveted area. And yes, you can sell things for a lot of money there. The idea that a building goes for $220 million, I mean, in most towns in America, that's unfathomable right there. So that's a lot of money. That's what it's roughly worth, according to the new case. But Trump pushed and pushed it up to half a billion or more, $530 million. Now, each of those instances I showed you broken out, those are some of the more egregious. I will say, as a matter of precision and fairness, there are other examples in the case that are not quite that strong or egregious. But when you count them up, it's not 5 or 10 of those, or even 20, where a company might plausibly say to the judge, hey, you know, we do a lot of deals. This is 20 out of 1,000, yada, yada. No. This new case, putting this heat on Trump and his family, has about 200 alleged instances of this kind of fraud with receipts. And that's part of why the worst news for Donald Trump isn't even in the AG's office. It's in the other offices she's sent to. Criminal referrals for this kind of chicanery, if you will, to the feds and SDNY, that's in the New York federal office, and the IRS. So that is just a sampling of the evidence. Yesterday, we showed you a lot of the law, what this means. Tonight, we lead with the evidence, and we go to someone who knows exactly how to sift this evidence, Asha Rangappa, former FBI special agent in counterintel, a lawyer, and a Yale University lecturer. Welcome back.
Thank you, Ari.
I mentioned those, and our producers were working to take the data out of the case and turn it into those charts. And we can put one or two of them back up. It seems to me that a lot of people would give you kind of a pass and people could become jurors if you round up 10, 20%. And a lot of people think about a car dealership like, okay, they say 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. It was really 6 seconds. Okay, is that fraud? This looks like James has evidence that the habit was not just a little roundup, but what you see here, really ripping people off and lying to the government.
Yes, Ari. And I think what the complaint makes clear is that there were very deliberate financial shenanigans and misrepresentations and fuzzy math that's going on. So with the Mar-a-Lago building, for example, I'm not a forensic accountant, but I was able to follow generally what was happening behind the scenes based on what's being described in the complaint. So Mar-a-Lago is a huge building. And basically, Trump, in acquiring that, acknowledged that it could not be used as a residential property, right? And so this is why it is a club. And he personally signed off on this with the city. And what's happening is that although he's operating it as a club, he is valuing it as this enormous residential property. He also signed off certain easements to the city, which basically gives him a tax break, but then creates other restrictions on what he can do with the property, which also lowers the value, but then doesn't acknowledge that those restrictions exist when he's, having the property valued for purposes of his financial statement. And so he's also double dipping because he adds for Mar-a-Lago what he calls a brand premium because it's operating as a club, even though he's listing it as a residential property. And so the net effect of all of this is that this gross inflation, I think your chart makes it clear, and more than that, that these representations are then being used to obtain loans, to get insurance at different rates.
And so, Asha, Asha,
it's the fraud.
Yeah. It ain't even my chart. Like, it's his numbers.
That's correct.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's, it's not just the false valuation, it's the use of them to obtain financial benefits. And I think the big takeaways, if you look at all of these different valuations, are a few things. First, that Trump is directing, the people under him to make sure the value of all his properties are going up. The second is that they have two sets of books, that for many of these properties, they're getting official appraisals that are telling them that they're valued at a low amount, and then representing that they're valued higher. So the knowledge is there. And then in addition, his children, there's a whole section at the end that they too are personally involved in creating these valuations and certifications as well.
Right. I mean, look, everyone's had a couple years of COVID practice. If you don't know you have COVID and you go somewhere and you become a super spreader, you go to work, whatever, you don't know. Once you find out you have it, that changes everything. And you don't find it out by thinking about it or, sniffling. You get a test or you get a medical professional. Where am I going with this? What you just said seems to be so damning for them in the case and what a judge is going to look at, which is they're actually told, here, it's X. And then they go out and misrepresent it as Y. And that's fundamentally different, right, than someone who wants to defend and say, I didn't know. I put a number on it. Okay, so sue me. Well, they are suing him. But sue me. I really didn't know what it's worth. It's all a craps game until you get a buyer. A lot of Americans have experience in the homeowners market, right? You say, well, what's it worth? We don't know. No, it's the opposite. You knew exactly what it was estimated as, and then you wildly lied about it. I want to get your response to Laura Trump speaking out today. Here she was.
Sadly, this has become commonplace for all of us in the Trump family, this sort of treatment and investigation and these allegations that always end up being false. And you know what? We're holding up fine because we know that there was no wrongdoing, that nothing happened here.
I would love for you to contrast or walk us through the difference between what she's saying on Fox in a sort of a, you know, a sort of a MAGA snowflake bubble where you're not going to be triggered. You're not going to be pressed. And shout out to anyone who needs a bubble. You know, you can live in a snowflake bubble if you want. How do you contrast that to the fact that Donald Trump fought ever answering any questions about the facts or whether there was anything wrong or what the details were? And then James Wan dragged him in and he had to plead the Fifth Amendment for criminal liability rather than just say, and again, it's my job. When I cover a case, I love to cover both sides. I love to be able to say, and their response is this. We still don't have much of a detailed response from him because he pled the Fifth. How do you contrast Laura's PR message in the bubble to Donald Trump's inability or unwillingness on the advice of counsel to even speak about what he was up to?
Well, I think what you say under oath matters a lot. And there are, in the complaint, it states certain questions to which Trump, you know, claim the Fifth. And these were pretty direct questions. For example, did you direct Weisselberg to make sure that the value of your properties increased every year? I plead the Fifth. I mean, that's an easy no if you didn't do it, right? And so, and that goes to the heart of his own participation and knowledge of the scheme. I think it's also just the sheer number of properties. This isn't even just a one-off of, you know, just Trump Tower or Mar-a-Lago. This is across. This is a pattern and practice of how he's doing it. And Ari, don't forget that just a few years ago, the New York dissolved his charitable foundation because of financial mismanagement, that they were taking in charitable donations and spending it on portraits and appropriating it. And that was dissolved. His children actually had to go to financial remedial training to learn how to become trustees. Obviously, that didn't work very
can
well.
You, that raises the deeper question. Can you be taught to be charitable if it's not in your nature?
Yeah, it's more that they don't understand how to be fiduciaries to act within the rules. And I think it's a microcosm. When you read this complaint, it's really a microcosm of what we saw over 4 years in the government. If you've been operating your whole life where you can just make up your own rules and live in your own fantasy world, this is what got translated into the Oval Office. And trying to bend laws and reality institutions in order to create what he thought it should be, as opposed to what our norms and laws and constitution says it is.
Yeah, I think you lay it out very clearly, and it's why the big story here, the pressure on them in a very real case, and the Fifth, which can be used as an adverse inference in a civil case, were all really striking. So, Asha, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We have some updates on many stories tonight. If you look on your screen, we've been teasing two special guests. We have new details coming out of the January 6th committee, including the news about Clarence Thomas's wife and conspiracy theories versus science and facts. Neil deGrasse Tyson is our special guest tonight. We're going to get into the truth, why he says you can acknowledge more than one truth, but you need science in government, not religion, and a lot of other interesting stuff in his new book. So I'm telling you, he's here. But first, an individual who got a shout out from the New York Attorney General as she unveiled this massive case. The one and only Michael Cohen is here with receipts and more next.
I think they took my will. I found out yesterday. I said, where is it?
Am I in it?
I think they took my will. Could cause a lot of problems.
No.
That could cause a lot of problems if that gets published from people that won't be so happy or maybe will be very happy.
Okay.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Donald Trump is facing this legal heat from several directions, and we are joined, as mentioned, by Michael Cohen, the former personal attorney and Trump Organization vice president. I'm going to tell you exactly why he's here and more, but let me also tell you everything that we're balancing. You have the attorney general making this massive fraud case. We're going to get to that because, as mentioned, Mr. Cohen, in public, to Congress, and here at Times on the Beat, has laid out some of the case that led to that. But we're actually going to begin with a story we haven't hit yet tonight. And that is Donald Trump's other big problem down in Florida around what are, according to the Justice Department, stolen top secret documents. Now, Trump has Truth Social and he speaks in certain ways, but he gave a more lengthy television interview, which he actually has not done lately. You may remember when we talked about some of the Fishers over at Fox News. He hadn't done one of these in a while. So he spoke with Sean Hannity, making a range of claims. Some might work for PR, but were not 100% true. Others were bizarre and would probably get dunked on in court, like the idea that a president can formally declassify top secret documents, which can involve human intelligence and spies' lives or deaths. A president might be able to do that just by thinking it.
A president has the power to declassify.
Correct.
Okay. You had said on Truth Social a number of times you did declassify.
I did declassify, yes.
Okay. Is there a process? What was your process to declassify?
It doesn't have to be a process, as I understand it. You know, there's different people say different things, but as I understand it, there doesn't have to be. If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it. And there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be. You're the president. You make that decision. So when you send it, it's declassified. I declassified everything.
Now, there was a lot sandwiched in there. I'm going to play just the key part. And if you were doing an interview and you were independent or objective, you would ask someone, I don't care what party they're in or anything else, if somebody says this, you would follow up and say, did you just say that thinking is the way you declassify it, which raises the question, how would anyone else outside your brain know? Take a listen.
If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it.
Think about all of it. We are joined, as mentioned, by Michael Cohen. He is the host of the Mea Culpa podcast and the author of the soon-to-be-released Revenge, How Donald Trump Weaponized the U.S. Department of Justice Against His Critics. That's coming October 11th. And Michael, as you may know, sometimes the books we mention do okay here, so people can go learn about your book. Welcome back to The Beat.
Good to see you, Ari.
We're going to get into all of it, more than one thing, including the case that I mentioned you sparked. But first, your reaction to what we just heard from the president, the former president.
Watching him on Hannity, it actually saddens me because it's so ridiculous. I mean, he was always odd and he was always different. He was an enigma. But this is just nuts. And there's no way to describe it. I'm thinking it, therefore it is. You know who has that sort of ideology? A king, a monarch, a dictator, a supreme leader. I thought it, therefore I can do it. It almost reminds me of like in the Ten Commandments. Remember Ramses? So it has been said, so it shall be done. He's able to declassify things with his mind. It's truly an amazing thing. I personally think that there's something wrong.
Well, shout out to the Ramses reference.
Yes.
Sunday school, perhaps.
That's correct.
When you did work for him, did people play along with this kind of thing? It's almost like, to pick a less important example, someone thinks they ordered coffee. The waiter says, oh, no, you only ordered eggs. You didn't order coffee. But some waiters go, oh, I must have not heard your order, because that's how they kind of smooth through it. And on little things, it may not matter. Is that the style, or does this remind you of how he was when you worked for him?
No, this is a whole nother level of insanity. Yes, he would turn around and say, to the girls, get me a Coke. And he would yell it out. He wouldn't turn around and try to do it through telepathy, right? I mean, that's basically what he's saying here. Through telepathic powers, I have the ability to declassify top secret documents. And it's really scary that he's even able to find time on anything other than his own Truth Social network within which to pass this nonsense.
Then they went back and forth about the FBI. He has been all over that issue at times, really speaking in ridiculously offensive or even dangerous ways. But then he tries, as you notice, sometimes bring it back. So here's an exchange about the FBI.
I really believe that most of the people within the FBI, out of the top groups, most of the people in the FBI, they probably voted for Trump. I don't want to have anybody hurt.
What do you hear there?
Again, Donald playing the victim. Boo-hoo, right? Let's all sit there and cry. The FBI raided him with a valid warrant. What else did he say about the FBI? I think they may have planted the documents. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the stuff that, he doesn't care if they're Republican or Democrats, but if they obviously voted for me, I don't want them to get hurt. He doesn't care about anyone. It's all, again, self-serving. Everything that he does is self-serving. The fact that he took documents, that's a crime. But then he didn't take them, but he did. And then they do a warrant, they take it, then they find all of these blank jackets of top secret information. We know one is definitively nuclear. We don't know which country. For all you know, it could be Israel, and it could have been given to Mohammed bin Salman. Now I'm hypothesizing.
You don't know that.
Of course not, but I'm just using it as an example. You know why I don't know? Because nobody knows. And the point is, we're not supposed to know.
Right.
That's the whole point. We're not supposed to have this conversation, Ari, about what top secret documents this lunatic took from the White House against the Presidential Records Act, hid in the basement. That we're not supposed to be thinking about things
right,
like this.
Because exactly, it's a level of danger that you shouldn't have from someone who had that job. The last one on this, and then we're going to turn to James, where I really want to get your latest views. But at one point, Hannity starts to wonder whether Trump was suggesting that he, Trump, secretly had Hillary Clinton's emails. I know it sounds hard to follow. After you watch this clip, it won't be any easier to follow, but here we go.
There's also a lot of speculation because of what they did, the severity of the FBI coming and raiding Mar-a-Lago. Were they looking for the Hillary Clinton emails that were deleted, but they are around someplace? Were they looking for the spying on Trump?
You had it. No,
they may be saying they may have thought that it was in there.
Okay.
And a lot of people said the only thing that would give the kind of severity that they showed by actually coming in and raiding with many, many people is the Hillary Clinton deal.
Did he land that Hillary Clinton jujitsu or not?
No. It's typical Donald Trump deflection. It's never me. It's not the fact that I gave back a box. I had my lawyer attest to the fact that there were no more at Mar-a-Lago. They somehow figure out that there is documents still there. They get a valid search warrant. They execute it through the FBI. They come in, and guess what? They took documents that he wasn't supposed to have on top of that in unsecured location. And this is a real serious problem because it jeopardizes our national security. And that's a problem when you have a president that truly doesn't want to be the president. He wants to be the king.
Now, next we're going to turn to why Donald Trump is probably more upset with you than just about any other person.
Sorry.
From the new case that was unveiled yesterday. We have our shortest break of the hour. I don't think anyone's going to leave on us right now, Michael. Michael stays. We have 1 minute break, and then we get into the James case and the shout out she gave Mr. Cohen. We're back in 60 seconds.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I will remind everyone that this investigation only started after Michael Cohen, the former lawyer, testified before Congress and shed light on this misconduct.
Attorney General James, citing Michael Cohen, my guest, one point she was making is that she's following the facts and you unearthed some of them, rather than the attack that somehow she set out to do this. Mm. Now that she's landed this case yesterday, and she says it started after your testimony, what do you see in it? Does it follow the leads that you provided?
Absolutely. I mean, the problem that prosecutors have always had as it relates to Trump, the Trump Organization, is that there are only a handful of executives in the place. And they never were able to figure out. It's a privately held company, regardless of whether it's a billion or, as he would say, it's $10 billion. It makes no difference. Understanding how the Trump Organization works, the methodology that's used in the inner workings of the company, that's what I provided, along with, more importantly, documentary evidence. Remember the 2011, 12, 13 personal financial statements. I provided them the roadmap into what they were used for. And that, I believe, is part of the basis of this 200-page indictment.
Yeah, a roadmap. And you mentioned that there's a finite number of people. Mr. Weisselberg now convicted. Here's what else she said. Take a listen.
Mr. Trump and Mr. Weisselberg would meet to review and approve the final statement every year. Mr. Trump made known through Alan Weisselberg that he wanted his net worth reflected on the statements to increase, a desire Mr. Weisselberg and others carried out year after year.
Does that match your experience?
Yes. And I discussed it with them at length, and I provided them documentation, including the personal financial statements. That was obviously important for them, because what it did is it gave them the ability to take the documents that I provided, not just to them, but to all the various different congressional committees, the House Oversight Committee that it was posted up live on. And what they did is they tracked it back. For example, the craziness about his triplex apartment, 33,000 square feet, highest price ever attained. In fact, the whole building's not worth that amount of money, and it's never seen that type of money. They then did it with Seven Springs. They did it with Mar-a-Lago. They did it with virtually every single property, including his golf courses. So that's the big problem.
When you see her act where others have not, including the DA case, which famously got to Weisselberg but not beyond, do you think it's something different about James? Do you think she has been better? Because as you just mentioned, you've cooperated with more than one probe.
Right. I think Tish James is fantastic. I think she is an incredible attorney general and an attorney general that I wish every single state in this country had. I actually wish Alvin Bragg had been a little bit more Tish James, though I'm going to give Alvin a little bit of leeway as we now in October have the case against the Trump Organization. And you and I have talked about this, mm-hmm. that you cannot separate the Trump Organization from Donald.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not Weisselberg Org.
Correct.
It's Trump Org. Yes. So at a certain point, the authorities have to get in there. Final question to you, knowing him well, where do you think his head and emotions are at today when he sees the prospect that he could really be booted from New York business, not him or his kids able to run any business here?
Yeah. It's not the business that bothers him. It's the loss of what will be the money. And one of the things you talked about at the beginning is that she's seeking $250 million. Mm-hmm. That's not accurate. Mm. What she said was the baseline of $250 million. Knowing the documents the way I do and knowing exactly the fraud that was going on, I see the number between $750 and $1 billion.
Because you think that the penalties that she's attaching to what has happened would actually go up.
Yes. This is a baseline.
Interesting. Mr. Michael Cohen, it's not me saying it. It was the attorney general leading this probe saying, look, it's not whether they like you or not. It's that they found you and the evidence you provided credible, which kicked off her investigation, which now is a big deal. So you're a person back in the news. I appreciate you coming on the beat,
sir.
And
I thank her for it. I really do.
Thank you.
And I thank you.
Yes, sir. Mr. Michael Cohen. Coming up, a right-wing activist, Justice Thomas's wife, Ginny Thomas, is going to speak to the January 6th committee. But first, I got to tell you, we're going to get into so much space. Neil deGrasse Tyson on truth, science, and some politics on the beat next.
If the alien came across the galaxy and couldn't land a damn spaceship, I don't want to meet the aliens. They're stupid aliens, all right?
This is the news. We deal in facts. And what I'm about to tell you is a fact. I'm joined by one of our favorite guests. The acclaimed astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson has spent decades exploring the mysteries of our universe and also explaining them in ways that we can understand. Now he's turned his attention to some of the problems in one planet on the universe, inside our universe, Earth. The new book, Starry Messenger, urges us to really think critically and objectively about what we're up to and whether we can keep this planet we have here. He writes, we sow hatred of others fueled by what we think is true or what we want to be true without regard to what is true. We've lost all sight of what distinguishes facts from opinions. We lob grenades at one another when we could be sharing beers in pubs. Neil is here. Shout out to drinking together and finding facts. Great to see you.
Thanks. Actually, I lean towards wine, but beer is...
You wrote beer.
I did write beer. I totally wrote beer there.
We know you from so many things, but you're clearly taking the scientific rigor that people love about you and I think sometimes learn from you and applying it to some really big topics. Why this now? What do you want us to think about?
This book has been gestating within me for decades. In fact, I can remember my first thoughts when I was scientifically literate, early middle school. I'd look around and I'd see adults saying things, making decisions, commenting, holding opinions. It was like, what? Where did that come from? Have you thought about it this way? Do you understand the data, the statistics? And it's been gestating within me. And then the book was birthed whole.
Wow.
And I realized all of these parts of society could benefit from a dose of a cosmic perspective. Just what does that look like from above? But also an infusion of science literacy and critical thinking in a way where your argument that you thought you held firmly and you thought you were opposite the person you were fighting with, in fact, from another perch, you could learn that you both actually agree more than you disagree. Or you're both equally wrong, and you realize it together. Okay, either of those are progress in any kind of between any warring factions in modern society.
Yeah, you mentioned the factions. Some of this goes back a long way. People debating what is God, who's got the right belief system. I mean, that's old school stuff, right?
Yeah, that is. However, this country, the United States, was quite the fascinating experiment in that regard. It's whatever is your personal truth, it's welcomed, but you can't tell someone else, you can't require someone else have your personal truth. And that gave religion freedom to express itself in all stripes, in all varieties in this country. That's remarkable. And so, but that's a particular kind of truth. In the chapter Truth and Beauty, I go into this in great detail, but I had to split the word truth into three parts because there are many people who, especially religions, they really attach themselves to the word truth, and I don't want to take that away from them. So there's a personal truth. Is Jesus your savior? Is Abraham your, you know, in your lineage? Is Muhammad your last savior? Are your ancestors watching you? These are cherished beliefs. And it works provided that if you have that belief, you don't then rise to power over laws and legislation and have those laws and legislation force others into that same belief system. So the pluralistic feature of this country, I think, is something that can and should be cherished. So how does science distinguish? Oh, wait, slip in a political truth. You know what that is?
What's that?
It's what becomes true simply because it got repeated so many times. Our brain has this failure mode. Well, we think it's a success mode where you hear something so many times, your brain says, must be true. But the scientific truth is what you establish to be true through experiment, observations, repeated, verified. And when that is done, it is true whether or not you believe in it. And if you're going to base laws and on something that has to apply to everybody, it seems to me the objective truth should be your primary motive.
So you say objective truth just then. Let me read from you on objective truth in the book. Objective truths of science are not found in belief systems. They're not established by the authority of leaders or the power of persuasion, nor are they learned from repetition or gleaned from magical thinking. To deny objective truths is to be scientifically illiterate, not to be ideologically principled. Explain that important
That's one of my
split.
Best sentences in the book.
Yeah?
Thanks for finding that.
Well,
we found it.
But explain that split because you do something that I think is very important. That sometimes belief and ideology, especially the way we're tribally organized, which you also write about, becomes its own test. If you're down with this goal, you got to be down with this other stuff. And then before you know it, that means being down with things that at one point you might have known were questionable or not true. And now you glom onto them.
It's a portfolio, portfolio of beliefs.
Walk us through that.
Well, no, because science, one of the things it does best is unpack things that are otherwise glued together that you think all have to roll in one coherent shape. You unpack and say, no, this works, but that doesn't. No, I'm not going to ride with that because you've attached it to this, but I'm not going to go with you on that because I'm thinking about this. What happens is we like following leaders and we let them do our thinking for us. And I can't embrace that.
No, that wouldn't seem like your thing.
I can't. I don't mind leaders, but that doesn't even have to agree with everything the leader says, okay? And so what it means is if you pose an argument, there might be holes in that argument. And you need to be a little bit open to that. And I don't mean holes that I'm right and you're wrong. It could be a hole that, well, we're both wrong, and here's a new place we can agree on, and that's when you go out and have a beer.
So I have a big question for you because you tackle ethics, and there are different competing systems of ethics. Historically on Earth, many of them have involved some appeal to a higher power.
Yes.
This power or this God creates this ethics. Are there ethics in the non-human rest of the galaxy?
I don't know. Ethics as well as just sort of morality. I can tell you this, whatever ethics or morality we agree to have as society progresses, and by the way, the ethos of today was not the same as 50 years ago or 100 years ago. You know, there would have been another day when I would have been a slave, okay? And so the ethics and morality evolves, and it evolves according to sort of rational discourse about what is right and what is wrong.
Are there permanent ethics on Earth, do you think? Can you point to any that are permanent?
I don't know what's permanent, but I do know that if you think something is permanent, that's usually not a good sign because you attach to it. And then as the world moves on, you could have a different outlook on that. I'm old enough to remember the Sunday newspaper had a section called the women's section. That was like sort of ethically the right thing, because what do women do? They are at home. And in that section were recipes and coupons and all the things women did at home. And nobody critiqued that for decades.
Right.
And finally, we get into the 1970s and the moving frontier of the second wave women's lib movement. And all that changed. But it took that long to do it. You needed an entire civil rights movement to happen first, and then everyone said, well, how about the women? And that, so I will not accept something as eternally true, given that we continue to mature in this world.
We are living in a time of unparalleled technological advancement, and yet we're saddled by all of this misinformation and stupidity. We're seeing more of the galaxy, I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, than we've ever seen in previous generations. You write, ranked by distance, sight is very important. The farthest thing visible to the human eye is a twin of our own Milky Way, the Andromeda.
Andromeda.
The Andromeda. See, I knew I'd need help. The Andromeda Galaxy.
Named for the woman saved by Perseus in Greek legend.
Yeah.
Andromeda.
Well, there's a J. Cole song, She Don't Want to Be Saved, but that's for another time.
Okay. about to be consumed by the Kraken, so I think she wanted to be saved.
And you write, it sits 2 million light years away, far beyond the stars of the night sky. What does it do for us, in English, plain English, that we have gone as a global community from seeing that far with, as you say, the naked eye, to what we're now seeing just in the last years, farther through the galaxy and its own history? What can we as a people, what is someone watching the program, what do they take from that day-to-day life that we can now see more of the galaxy than ever?
You can take one of the greatest of all cosmic perspectives that exist, and it's the revelation that emerged mid-20th century that the atoms of our body are traceable to the crucibles in the centers of stars that then later exploded, scattering that enrichment into pristine gas clouds that then form star systems with planets, one of which was the sun with Earth, so that we're not simply in this universe alive, yes, the universe is alive within us. That is a gift of modern astrophysics to civilization that borders on the spiritual. Mm. So that when you stand out in the night sky and look up, do you say, oh, I'm small and the universe is big? You might say that and it'd be true. But a bigger fact than that is you are made of the same ingredients as those stars. We are not just poetically, we are literally stardust that achieve consciousness to contemplate the extent of the universe in which we live. And so the greater is that moving horizon, the more of this we find that we are a participant of in the great unfolding of cosmic events.
Spending a little time with your mind is a joy. A joy. I think I got part of what you said. Neil deGrasse Tyson. The book, Starry Messenger, is in bookstores now. The January 6th committee is back with this public hearing coming next week. And now a development. The conservative activist Ginni Thomas, married to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, is speaking to the committee. Thomas pressed Wisconsin lawmakers to overturn Biden's win. She was messaging with them. She was discussing 29 Arizona state lawmakers and how to get them to potentially help overturn the election, set aside Biden's victory, and just choose their own electors. She's also known to be close with the Trump White House. So there's much interest in what the committee's gathering, what, if anything, Thomas would say that is responsive or helpful, and what's going to happen at this hearing. Now, I'll remind you, you can tune into MSNBC on Wednesday starting at noon Eastern for special live coverage of the hearing. And then we have our special primetime coverage, the recap to get everyone you see on your screen, myself included, and most importantly, the highlights, which, as you've noticed, we sometimes play at great length with analysis and fact checking to understand where this investigation is going into one of the most horrific attacks on American democracy in the Capitol in our nation's history. I can also say, while we're talking about the committee, that many are awaiting not only the hearing, but its report. And I am working with HarperCollins on one of several options of ways you can get the committee's report. It is the January 6th committee report with a foreword that I'm writing about the coup conspiracy. Here is the cover of that book. And I can tell you, thanks to you, The Beat, and MSNBC viewers, that book is now the number one book in the country, not just among government reports or nonfiction, but among all types of books on Amazon. So thank you for getting it, if you're interested. Thank you for supporting us. And if you don't want to get the book or read it, that's fine, too. We will continue to cover what has been something that has yielded measurable interest. You see the interest in the hearings, in the evidence, and people like Ms. Thomas who have kind of said, well, maybe they want to defend or explain why they were going to overturn the election, and then maybe they don't. As I've told you before, when you have to go under oath, well, that's when you might find out a lot more about where people really stand. Thanks for watching The Beat with Ari Melber tonight.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.